Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Chittaw's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve and Ted in the morning. Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 46 degrees here on a Monday morning. Less than a week into impeachment hearings, and members of Congress are discussing the divide the process is creating.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin says House hearings aimed at the possible removal of a president is not how change at the White House should happen.
Generally, we solve our political differences at the ballot box, right, not in the streets or through impeachment.
But Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut says these are extraordinary circumstances that call for the inquiry into what the president is believed to have done.
Using the massive powers entrusted to him to try to use taxpayer dollars as leverage to get a foreign country to interfere in an election.
Both men on NBC's Meet the Press. President Trump continues to call the impeachment fake in public and on Twitter. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Wichita police are investigating the death of a man who was found inside his pickup truck last night. Officers responded to a shooting call in the 2000 block of South Rock Road near the South Rock Billiards Club. Police Sergeant Doug Gertis.
Right now, the investigation section is doing any background information they have or any other witnesses they may come across, and looking at any past cases.
Man's name has not been released.
The Kansas Highway Patrol says two people from Belleville died in a crash with a semi-trailer truck in north central Kansas.
The Highway Patrol says Stephen and Sherry Torres, who were both 62, died in the crash Saturday morning. The crash happened on U.S. Highway 81, just north of U.S. Highway 36, when Stephen Torres tried to turn south onto Highway 81. The Torres' vehicle was struck on the driver's side by a northbound semi-trailer truck driven by 28-year-old Douglas Watts of Nebraska. The semi overturned during the accident, but Watts was not hospitalized afterward. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A 16-year-old boy is dead, four other teens hurt after a rollover crash in northeast Kansas. Kansas Highway Patrol says the crash happened early Sunday in Brown County near U.S. Highway 36. The 17-year-old driver of a Toyota Corolla lost control of the car and veered into a ditch before the car went airborne and rolled onto its roof. The patrol says Ian Miller of Hiawatha, Kansas, died. The other teens in the car, ages 15, 17, 18, and 19, all sustained serious injuries.
Former New York City mayor and likely presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg spoke at a predominantly black church in Brooklyn yesterday. Fox's Jackie Heinrich has more.
Bloomberg's possible run could be dogged by a policy from his time as mayor that a federal judge ruled unconstitutional. It was called stop and frisk. Today, it seemed like he wanted to get out ahead of that and apologize before making his candidacy official.
We did make mistakes. I made mistakes. I've never met anybody who hasn't made a mistake. The critical issue is whether you can admit it. Well, I think I can. Thank you.
That's a departure from his longtime defense of the program, saying that it lowered crime. He said he didn't understand at the time how it impacted black and Latino communities disproportionately.
Bloomberg recently filed to get on the ballot for primary contests in Alabama and Arkansas.
Alaskans have experienced both a record high temperature and a record amount of snowfall in the same day. The Anchorage Daily News reports the municipality of Anchorage saw snowfall of more than a foot Saturday after tying a temperature record set in 1967. The National Weather Service says the city tied the high temperature record by reaching 45 degrees Fahrenheit around 3 a.m. The Weather Service says southeast winds blew warm air into the city before the wind subsided, temperatures dropped, and snow fell. 6:33, Stephen Ted. Now a look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Well, good morning. The cloud cover here early on is going to be moving up. It'll be sunny and breezy today, fairly nice for this time of year, with a high near 70. Clear overnight, our low 39. It'll be sunny and not as warm on Tuesday, with a high 67. Showers move in Wednesday and a high in the upper 60s. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now mostly cloudy. We've got a southwest wind at 12 miles per hour and 46 degrees on this Monday, November 18th, 2019. Saw the sunset last night. It was beautiful. I don't know what it's like this morning out there, Jad, but we had a beautiful sunset last night.
I got to say this, for anybody who's complaining about how very strange the weather has been up and down and high and low here, I guess that Anchorage thing kind of shuts us up, doesn't it?
Alaska had real extreme. Wow. Today is November 18th on this date in 1963. The Bell System introduced the first commercial touch-tone telephone system in Carnegie and Greensburg, Pennsylvania. The touch-tone keypad. Hey, still using it on some phones, or a version of it, right, Ted? Before that, you had the rotary dial.
Yeah.
Right? And that's one of the things.
Seems like it wasn't until the 80s when we finally got the touch tone in our homes, really.
Yeah.
Still dialing rotary phones up until the
80s. No, we had it. I think we had it at my house in the 60s. Maybe yours didn't.
Boy.
Maybe your dad had. I think your dad probably had that one on the wall with the crank on it there, probably, didn't he?
Man.
I can remember, you know, when I was a kid, and when I lived in Kingman as a kid, you know what the system was? You picked up the phone, and an operator came on, and you gave him a three-digit number, 364, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe four-digit, but I think it was three digits. I don't remember our
like
phone number.
Andy
was
like the Griffith show for you.
Yeah, this was pretty primitive back in the late 50s, 367, something like that. And of course, you had party lines where people could listen in on each other all the time.
And now we all carry a cell phone in our hand.
There you go.
Yeah.
A 9-year-old New Mexico boy landed a 42-pound blue catfish Sunday evening while fishing in the Elephant Butte Reservoir. If you're a fisher person, you might want to go out there and check out the Elephant Butte. Apparently, they got some catfish in there, Ted. Chris Flores said his son Alex made the big catch by himself and shattered dad's record of reeling in a 36-pound fish.
Oh, my.
Flores says the fourth grader named the fish Whalard, after the Pokemon character, is that right, Whalard? Father says his son released the fish back into the reservoir after taking photos and videos. The biggest fish ever reportedly caught in the Elephant Butte history was 78 pounds.
Oh, my.
So, I don't know. That's a big. I'd like to go there. Just
take a lot of breading to fry that up.
No kidding. You can slice it up 15 ways. Two Arkansas college chemistry professors have been arrested on charges of making meth in an apparent case of life imitating art. The Clark County Sheriff's Office says Henderson State University professors Terry David Bateman and Bradley Allen Rowland were arrested Friday on charges of manufacturing methamphetamine and using drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, what are these two up to?
Tina Hall, a spokeswoman for the Arkadelphia-based school, says Bateman and Rowland have been on administrative leave since October 11th. She says 3 days earlier, police investigated a report of a chemical odor in the campus science center. And it wasn't, what was the professor's name in the flubber? It wasn't him. Says the building reopened October 29th after a company filtered the air. The arrest drew comparisons to the central character in the hit TV series Breaking Bad, in which a high school chemistry teacher began making methamphetamine. What was the professor's name? It was Fred McMurray in
The Absent-Minded Professor.
The Absent-Minded Professor. I can't remember his name in the film, but that was one of my favorite films growing up. I was like
pretty good movie.
8 or 9 years old when that came out.
Oh, yeah.
And playing basketball and so forth. And then they had this film where they ironed this stuff on the bottom of your shoes and you could jump through the roof. That was pretty
great scene.
That was pretty cool.
Classic.
For a young kid in those days. Hey, man, flubber. We got to get some of that flubber. That's good stuff.
Apparently, the guy's name was Ned Brainerd.
Ned Brainerd. How'd you find that out? Do a little research?
The interwebs.
Oh, there he is. He's on the case. Jad is on. Ned Brainerd. And he was late for his own wedding or something.
Yeah.
For three or four
several
times.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. I've got to talk about this, but Carmina Burana, is that the way you say it? Carmina Burana. How do you say it, Ted? Coming up November 23rd and 24th at Century 2.
Coming up this weekend.
Wichita Symphony and Symphony Chorus performing, and my lovely wife, Shelley, is singing in this chorus. I am completely unfamiliar with this piece of music, and I think she was until a couple of months ago when they started rehearsing. And
even though it's been in every movie and TV ad you've ever seen for the last 60 years.
If I heard it, I'd know what
years.
It was, probably. But sure. You know, apparently this, but the presentation goes on long after that, and there's a lot more music into just that one part. She's been rehearsing with all the folks down there at the chorus, and they're going to be Saturday and Sunday.
How about that? Are you going to both?
Oh, I'm
are
going,
you going to both of
I'm
them?
I'm going to one of them at least. Okay. But, yeah, should be fun. I think I'm going to take my daughter.
Sweet.
And Stacy and I will go and see it. Because we appreciate art, even though I don't know what it is.
Be a good pre-Thanksgiving activity.
The conductor, the maestro, Hagee will.
I'm sure he'll fill you
come
in.
Come over and tell me personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a tutorial on it there.
Get him on the show this week.
That's what we ought to do, right? 6:39 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS, and it's time for our KNSS Commodities Update with Mr. Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve. Well, Friday, the cattle complex traded two-sided and continued to trade sideways after the large losses that occurred last Wednesday. Now, cash cattle last week traded mostly $115 in the Southern Plains. Lean hog futures continued their slide to lower prices and made new lows for the week and closed with triple-digit losses back on Friday. We did see on the close December live cattle 2 cents higher, 119.10. January feeders 22 cents higher, 144.27. And December hogs were 45 cents higher at 63.20. The wheat, the corn futures scored new lows for the week Friday and closed negative near their lows of the session. The soybeans were unable to hold their upside, and they close on the slightly positive side Friday, and the Dow Friday made another new all-time record high and record close. We are looking currently at December Kansas City wheat, 0.75 cents lower at 416.25. December corn down 0.25 cents at 371. January soybeans unchanged at 918.25. December crude oil 8 cents lower at 57.64. December gold down $10.40 at 1458.10. December S&P 6.5 points higher at 3124.75. December dollar index 5 cents lower at 97.82. December Dow Jones futures up 91 points at 28,044. For commodity trading or ag marketing advisory, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, do they trade turkey futures?
No, they do not.
Why not? I would think that would be something that we could export to China. Turkeys.
Well, I guess it's always a possibility, but no, it's one of those things that's never been traded. We've never traded chickens, but we have traded eggs years ago.
How that? I can remember eggs, yeah, but not chickens and not poultry, huh?
Nope, afraid not.
Well, okay. Well, why is that?
You want me to put a request in for you?
No, I guess not. I don't want to sound foolish, but no.
You could probably start a petition up. You know, we could petition the exchanges and see whether or not they would consider that, Steve.
Are you so awfully pro beef that you're not going to have turkey at Thanksgiving, huh?
I will probably have turkey at Thanksgiving because Patty and I are going to donate some time and help a community turkey dinner they have here in Augusta every year for the last several years. So I will probably end up eating turkey for Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute. You're going to do that on Thanksgiving Day?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm not sure that I have any plans. Could I come over there and is it what's the charge on that, I wonder?
It's free to the public.
So I could come over and get free turkey dinner over there?
Yes, you could. As long as they don't recognize who you really are, they'd probably let you in free.
Well, you're going to be there, so, you know, right? No, listen.
You bet.
Hey, I admire that, you guys doing that on Thanksgiving. There are a lot of people who have nowhere to go and no relatives in town and whatnot, and that's going to be great. How many years?
Right. There's a lot of people that go together to put that together, and it's a lot of time and a lot of money, but it's a worthy cause.
How many years have you done that?
Patty and I have helped for about 3 years, I think it is now, and I'm not sure if this has been going on for 5 or 6 years. Not exactly sure.
Hey, good for you, and congratulations to you and the folks at Augusta for doing that. That's a great deal.
Great.
All right, sir. Thank you. 6:43 now, Steve and Ted. We've got Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, coming our way. He's going to talk about where and when shall I sell my investment.
Okay.
Don Grant, CFP, The Money Tracker, on the way. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.